This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
It's a new day, and I'm Rhett Palmer. If you want to see the new day in a better way, talk to my friend. He's been my eye surgeon for 23 years at least. He's Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, and great to have you on here, Dr. Mallon.
Nice to be back, Rhett. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has, and I was amazed at, I remember when you first came in here years ago, one of the stories was, it's usually something like this, why did you become a doctor? And I remember you said your aunt had macular degeneration.
Juvenile macular degeneration.
Really? And your grandmother.
Yeah.
And so this is Rhett Palmer, though, but I thought as a kid, I think that bothered you, and I think subconsciously as an adult, you wanted to, you couldn't heal your aunt, you couldn't heal your grandmother, but you could heal others. Do you think that's possibly true? What drove you to be ultimately
become I mean, I know when I made the decision to go into ophthalmology was actually very, very clear. I was in medical school. I was a second-year medical student. My brother was a couple years ahead of me at University of Michigan Medical School. I was at Wayne State. And he gave me this book, and I think it may have been put out by a drug rep, but it described all the – they had done a survey of all the different specialties and asked the doctors what their level of satisfaction with their career was. There was a lot of different metrics. I wish I could find the book because I would like to share it with my daughter who is now in her first year of medical school.
That's wonderful.
But I read the book from back to front, front to back, and looked through everything. And at the end of it, the ophthalmologists were the happiest doctors by far.
Really?
Just absolutely. The career satisfaction, all the different factors, the quality of life outside of medicine, just there were all the different factors they looked at. And like I said, I wish I could find the book.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I know now as an ophthalmologist, I mean, the things that we get to do, first of all, we have a very successful surgical outcome. In general, most of what we do makes people better. So you're dealing with happy patients. There's very little from an emergency standpoint. So, you know, the other things I was looking at going into, my brother's a vascular surgeon. I mean, when he's on call, even still, and he's late 50s, he may be gone for an entire weekend from his house working all night and all day and all night as, you know, at this stage of life, that's very hard to do. When you're younger, you can kind of do it. But so your life isn't your own in a lot of specialties, general surgery. And I really, it's interesting because I made the decision at that point, I'm going to go to ophthalmology. I remember I called my brother. I said, I'm going to be an ophthalmologist. And he's like, what are you talking about? He said, well, you know, if you want to do that, you've got to do research and, you know, you got to be top 10 of your 10% of your class. You've got to be AOA. You got to do all these different things. It was a very competitive specialty to get into. It was probably, you know, you had at that point, probably neurosurgery, orthopedics was pretty high to get into. But ophthalmology was at the top of the food chain. It was very hard to get into, and there's not that many slots for ophthalmology. So I was like, the heck with that. I'm not doing research. I don't like research, but I want to be an ophthalmologist. And I still, even going through medical school, I mean, I love the surgical specialties. I was going in initially. I thought I was going to be a cardiologist. I loved physiology. I was a physiology major. I was really good in physiology, and I loved how things worked. And cardiology, you know, I liked, you know, thinking about doing stents and, you know, just I liked that. And then once I got into doing some of the different things, I really liked surgical. Taking a problem, looking at it, identifying it, and fixing it. I like that. And that's what ophthalmologists do. We see a problem, we fix it, and we fix it very quickly. We get immediate result, which I like. So fast forward, ophthalmology is an early match, which means when you apply to the match, there's match day in medical school. It's in March. Everybody finds out. They open up an envelope. Where am I going to residency? Well, ophthalmology was an early match. So January was the ophthalmology match. So there was not a lot of there wasn't the fanfare of the whole class. So I almost went through the regular match, going down a general surgery pathway and ophthalmology. I was filling out both applications because I really wasn't fully sure where I wanted to go. In fact, there was a friend who became a friend who was a surgical oncologist at the University of Michigan, pretty big wig in the department there. And I did a rotation in surgical oncology with him. He was the goalie on our hockey team at the men's league that I played in Ann Arbor. I used to drive from Detroit to Ann Arbor and play hockey with my brother and this guy, Vern Sondak, who was this big-time attending surgeon. So everybody was intimidated by him. But we used to drink beers after hockey, and I'd pepper him with pucks. And, you know, I just knew him as a regular guy. So I did a rotation at the University of Michigan, and he always used to say, Bill, come on, you don't want to be an eye dentist. That's what he called us, eye dentists. Because he said, when something happens, you don't know what to do. He said, you just take care of the eyeballs. And I was, so he kind of was influencing me a little bit. Maybe I'd go down a surgical realm. And I did a month with him in surgical oncology at Michigan. And I really enjoyed that as well. But when it boiled down to it, I really, something in me said ophthalmology. And thank God, I love ophthalmology. I mean, to me, if you gave me a do-over 100 times, I'd pick it 100 times. I think it's the absolute best special for me personally. I love what I get to do. I have to know internal medicine. I have to know everything about the body because everything shows up in the eye. So that part of medicine and understanding how the body works, I love that. So I didn't,
urology or urology, which you used to think was kind of like weirdo science. It's true that you can tell a lot about the human.
You can. I don't know that you can see by reading the crypts in the iris, but you have to know everything about the body to be a good comprehensive ophthalmologist and understand. Now, there are some ophthalmologists that they're just surgeons. They don't look at anything else, and anything else they parse off. But I really enjoy the understanding of what's going on systemically and how it shows up and manifests itself in the eye. And then I love, obviously, the surgical part of what we do because, especially with cataract surgery and modern cataract surgery, it's just unbelievable what we're able to do and offer patients. Immediate recovery, be on the golf course the next day. Promise now perfect vision. Some of the newer lenses we can get into. I mean, we have something now. We have what's called a light adjustable lens. This is just science fiction.
Yeah, you were telling me about this. You can do this into my eye readjust it later.
We take out your cataract now, and everybody gets a lens implant. That's been standard of care since probably the late 80s. But the implants keep getting better and better, and you have bifocal lenses you can put in that give you distance and near. For a small segment of patients, you've got regular, what we call traditional lenses, and maybe you need glasses afterwards, but it improves, you know, get rid of the cloudy lens in your eye, the cataract, and you put a new lens in. Now we have lenses for people who are really picky and say, hey, I'm having surgery. I don't want to have to wear glasses to see a golf ball. Well, cataract surgery is not an exact science. We've never been able to promise someone an exact outcome. But now we can. We can actually put a lens in your eye and mold it like a piece of clay. And we mold it with UV light. We can change the shape of the lens, the power of the lens, to give you an exactness to your vision. You say, hey, I want to see perfect out of my right eye. I want to see a golf ball. I want to see a road sign. I want to be perfect vision and distance. We can actually give you whatever you're physiologically capable of seeing. We can now do it. And then a lot of times what we'll do is we'll take the other eye. And, you know, if you said, hey, I want to be able to look at my phone and my dashboard. I want to see it right here. Yeah. Or I'm an artist and I paint right here. We can literally put your focal point at that distance.
How many times can you do that?
Well, you adjust the lens up to 3 times, so you can tweak it and tweak it. You can correct astigmatism. You do it at UV light.
Crazy.
And then once you've reached a point where you say, you get to test drive your vision, essentially. You go out and go live with that for a week or two, and then come back and tell me what you think. Is there an area of your vision that's weaker than you'd like it to be? Can we adjust
it?
And then we can adjust it at a UV. There's a UV light, so we dilate the eye, and we put UV light onto the lens. It changes the power. And once you've reached a point, you say, this is perfect. This is what I want. We put you in the UV light and it locks the lens. So it hardens the polymers in the lens get hardened. And then at that point, it's just a traditional lens. But that's what you have is what you get.
But it's allowed us
to correct patients. Incredible.
Keep up with all this stuff?
Well, this is just so much fun. I mean, you have to kind of change with the times. I mean, lenses have changed over my 30 years of being in ophthalmology. Things have changed dramatically. I mean, we used to do big incisions. And that required, you know, a lot of healing and suturing and, you know, don't bend over for 6 weeks, you know, cut sutures to control astigmatism. And by the way, you know, if you're lucky, you may be able to see without glasses, but we're not promising anything to the point of getting into lenses now that we're foldable. We make small incisions. We do anesthesia that's just topical where we put eye drops in. We used to give a shot, a long needle underneath your eye behind into your orbit and paralyze the eye in the orbit. And you'd have a patch on for 24 hours. I haven't patched an eye since 1997. I mean, my patients are playing golf the next day. I have patients come to me now, they go, I don't know if I want to do surgery. I'm down here for the winter. I want to play golf, and I don't want to be out. And I said, you're going to be out for a day. Wait, my doc up north told me I couldn't bend over for 3 weeks. I'm like, what are they talking about? I haven't restricted activity after cataract surgery. I still remember this. I still see this patient, and I used to see her when I was started with Dr. Brannigan just 24 years ago. I did her cataract surgery. Next day, she comes in. She's in her tennis outfit. And I'm like, well, what are you doing? She said, I'm going to play tennis. And I was thinking to myself, well, okay. I couldn't think of a reason why she couldn't go play tennis. I mean, other than my training was don't bend over for 3 weeks. I'm like, First of all, that makes no sense. The eye is microscopic incision. It's healed up in 24 hours. Why can't they bend over? There's nothing they can do to the eye. You can go, and eye patients now go to the gym.
What a great time to be an eye surgeon.
Oh, it's incredible.
So what? So when you look at the human eye still, and I asked you this question 23 years ago.
Look, I marvel at everything in nature. I mean, you know, all these things in nature, how does it all fit together in this ecosystem of life? And, you know, you look at all these environments and how they work together. I mean, there was something that was really fascinating, and I'm a little off topic, but you know, they were looking at the wolves in like Yellowstone or something. I guess they were missing wolves. And
I saw
so they
that
put the wolves back into Yellowstone, and how the impact on every other part of nature. And all of a sudden you had the checks and balances of nature kind of restored. And then the streams came back. And it's just, you think, how is all this stuff interrelated? It doesn't make sense, right?
It's crazy. Look, I've taken up art since I've known you, and I'm, you know, I don't paint exact things. I'm not a traditionalist, but you know, I go to the beach now and I see the geometric, you know, the lines in a shell, the valley and then the peak and the valley and the peak, and they're perfect. And I go, how does that happen? The hand of God is just amazing. Now they even can take pictures of molecules within molecules.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It is. And how are we here, and how did this happen?
The scriptures say that not a sparrow falls from the heaven without the Father's permission. Are you not of much greater value than many sparrows, for the hairs on your head are counted? And I've lived long enough at 70 now, about to turn 71, and I will tell you this. It's amazing. We think of God like, I'll help this one today, but I can't help you all because, you know, it's beyond we could ever imagine. The scriptures say, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And I tell you what, I mean, I remember years ago you told me that your favorite day of the week was you would do surgery, and then the next day, it used to be one day a week, now maybe it's a couple now, and you'd come in and they'd take off the patch.
No patch, but just seeing the post-op. Yeah, it's like opening presents. It is. It's a miracle. And I still get a kick. That has not gone away at all. That rush from doing that, it's only gotten more prominent. Now I can, you know, and now, again, with the newer technologies, we can promise people things we never could promise them before. The accuracy of the outcomes. Like, you know, it used to be you do great surgery and someone's disappointed because they still have to wear glasses. And you're like, look, I did the best I could. You don't understand. We can't be that accurate. Well, now we can.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
When the storms and raging seas are crowding over me, you calmed in suddenly, and you fill me with peace. Yeah, you tell me to never fear. When I'm stuck in trials and broken in two, you restore the flame, Jesus, that's just what you do. And I know that you'll always be